Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Supar Reed. This is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. And certainly, as the song alluded to, we need to learn to love life. There ain't no tomorrow, because ain't nobody loving on us, truth be told. So we have to learn to love like it ain't no tomorrow, as far as our brothers and sisters are concerned, as far as our nation is concerned. And I suspect that if you love the truth, that's why you're here today, to get the truth. According to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, ELM. And that's what we provide for you on the Real Talk for Real People Search. We try to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis, and an assessment while leaving no stone or leaf unturned, crossing every T and dotting every I. And furthermore, we always encourage you and compel you to burn the midnight oil. Meaning, don't simply take our word for it. We could be in error. We could be mistaken. That's why you ought to burn the midnight oil as far as your own soul is concerned, because that's the most valuable thing you got in this universe, which is your soul. So do your due diligence and burn in the midnight oil yourself. Don't take our word for it. Study for yourself. And then come back and study with us again. Will you hold on for a minute, please? Wait 1 minute.
Love life is no tears.
But we must continue on our study, okay? Something come up in the moment's notice, I do apologize. But as the song alluded to, there's so much hate in the world. We have to love like there's no tomorrow, especially among brothers and sisters in our nation. They have to be the total opposite of this nation in every respect. And that's why it's imperative that we do our due diligence and our studies, because it's hard out here. It's a cold world out here, especially if we don't have each other in the Most High. We certainly don't have anyone else, and that's the truth be told. And you may be wondering, Yom Suf, you talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and you're making reference to the we. Yes, I am. And we need each other. And that's why I'm not anything special on this show. We're all cut from the same cloth, or should be, which is no one is looking for special accolades or seeking them. We're seeking to study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We're seeking to make the right application. Cottrell in New York City, Sister Yehuda in Detroit, Michigan, Sister Avia in New York City. These are the brothers and sisters that knows what that song is alluding to. Love like there's no tomorrow. Love your brothers, love your sisters, and love the Most High, and be on the right team. If they're not on the right team, I'm not suggesting, inferring, and implying that you don't love them, but you ought to know what team you're on. Love like it ain't no tomorrow, and that's the truth. Cottrell, Sister Avia, and Sister Hoody, they love the Most High with all their hearts, minds, souls, and strength, and their neighbors as themselves, meaning they love themselves too, and they love what remotely looks like them in the mirror. They don't hate it, write songs about it, to try to kill it and mistreat it. They know it's a moral obligation to do no less in that regard. So let me introduce them to you. Sister Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. I'm still under the weather. I may not talk as much like I usually do.
Good to have you back. You need to do something for that. You drink plenty of fluids, okay? And vitamin C and zinc. Okay.
Cole has to take his course because I knew when my throat started scratching and I was taking things, a natural thing. And it has to take its course. I'm just glad my throat isn't scratchy. So I'm taking things to cure up this thing. It is what it is, I tell you. But I'm doing better. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear that you're doing better. And don't forget the vitamin C and the plenty of fluids, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sister Abia. Man, I'm mixing up. Thank you, Sister. Now, Sister. Thank you. Now, Sister Abia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot.
Shalom, family. Good to be back. All praises to y'all. And glad to hear you doing a little better there, Sister Hoody. And may y'all bless us all. Shalom.
Okay, Sister Abby, I'm sorry. I was distracted for a moment. And thank you very much. Good to have you back, Sister. And now, Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, family. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. Bless you all, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. May He bless you and your families. How y'all doing?
Doing okay, all right. Brother. Doing okay. Thank you. And yours, too.
Oh, isn't it somebody's birthday today? Happy birthday.
I think so. Remember, it's
Happy
birthday.
Happy birthday. And maybe I can continue to give you many more.
Happy first birthday, brother.
Well, Katri, I'm going to be different. I bless your mom for birthing you those many years ago. So my respect go to her. Hallelujah.
I'm throwing gold stars at all of y'all. Praise y'all. All y'all get the gold star.
Praise y'all.
Okay.
Thank you for being here.
Yeah,
all right. Cottrell, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, I'm going to put this in a synopsis before we study. This guy, this King Nebuchadnezzar, is a psychopath, a sociopath, and he's double-minded. And the reason why I said this, in the previous chapter, he was told his dream, then his mindset before the dream, then the dream itself, then the interpretation of the dream. And he gave these brothers vast wealth and authority and power. But just because they didn't do what he wanted them to do, and you will see this, he flipped the script on them. He's shaking. He's shaming. This man is a classic sociopath. What is that saying? Power corrupts and complete. Power corrupts completely. And he's showing a classic sign of a psychopath and a sociopath. These very men that he couldn't even get any sleep from. And they gave him sleep. And now he flipped the script on them because they wouldn't do what he said and according to this idol that he had set up for them. Some of us are like that today. Truth be told, it's true. Let's not be like this King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar ain't nothing nice, as we said. Let's study about him. If y'all ready, let's get ready. In chapter 3 of Daniel, now King Nebuchadnezzar made an image, an idol of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together the satraps, these governors, people in charge, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces to come to the dedication of this idol, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So the satraps, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the officials of the provinces gathered together for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They stood before the image, the idol, that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image with King, the idol, basically, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Daniel's friends disobeyed King Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Yehudites. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, even though some of these Chaldeans, I suspect they looked out for what they told and interpreted that dream in the fourth house before it, O King, live forever. You, O King, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and sympathy with all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the gold image, basically idol. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Yehudites whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the idol, basically, which you have set up, the gold image. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fear, in his psychopathic and sociopathic mindset, forgetting about what he did for them previously, gave the command to Shadrach, to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image, which is basically idol, which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time to hear the sound, now if you're ready to do what I'm telling you to do, get ready. Now, if you're ready at the time, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kind of music, you fall down and worship the image, the idol which I made, good, okay, everything's forgiven. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hand? The same one that answered your question, El Dumbo, okay? Whom you soon forget. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. You already know. You already know what they're basically saying. You already know. You've been answered. You didn't even know the dream. You forgot the dream. He told you the mindset before the dream, then told you the dream, and the Most High interpreted that dream. You already know. Stop playing." So he said, "We have no need to answer you in this matter. If this is the case, our Elohim, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace. If he answers you, surely he can take care of us if he wants to. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, even if the Most High don't deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image idol which you have set up." Unlike some of us today, Kadria, Sister Yehudi and Sister Abigail. Yeah, they got many of God. They got warehouses here, and they serve them all over. Religions, they call them. Save in the fiery trial. When King Nebuchadnezzar was full of rage, he was then full of rage over what they said, because they had indicted him. They said, "You already know. Stop playing." And the expression on his face was changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went psychopathic and sociopathic. He went start raving mad, so to speak. He spoke in a command. Yeah, go ahead, Contrail.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't going to debate the king.
No.
They told him, You already formed your opinion. You already know. It's like the brother that called me and told me that Adam and Eve was transvestite. And he wanted to debate with me. And I told him, "You already made your mind. What's the need to debate, brother? I'm not going to change your mind. It's your opinion. And you got your opinion. I got mine."
Right.
Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, listen up, O king. But we're not going to debate you about who is God. And they don't respect these men. These men, Daniel mentioned, as having brought the answer that the king wanted, but he only singled out Daniel, not a part of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because Daniel ain't in this.
Mm-hmm.
He looking at Daniel, but Daniel told him, "My brothers, you need to make them, you know, ministers of your provinces too, because they helped me get the answer that you was looking for."
Exactly.
And the king, right? Daniel told him the dream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the interpretation of the dream. He said, "You, King Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold." and all the rest of the empires that follow you. So what does King Nebuchadnezzar go and do?
He makes a statue.
He makes a whole statue that's all gold, as if he's going to supersede Yah's plan. And everybody better bow down. I don't give a damn who you are. You better bow down. If you don't bow down, you're going in the fiery furnace. And if you're going in the fiery furnace, may your God save you.
Exactly.
So this is a test on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And did they fail the test, or did they stand firm for Yah?
They stood firm and
flying colors. Got to stand firm, for Yah in the face of danger, even if it means your life.
Exactly.
Because some people will compromise. Oh, I don't want to die. I'm going to bow down, and maybe Yah will forgive me. These brothers said, no, we're not bowing down. Do what you got to do, okay? But we ain't doing that.
Exactly. Praise Yah.
And they saw his ego because they knew the interpretation of the dream. King Nebuchadnezzar, you the head of gold. Mm-hmm. And here it is now. You're going to make the whole statue of gold. We're supposed to bow down. Oh, no, that ain't how it works out.
Exactly.
If you want, but we're not bowing down. But that's what nations that conquer other people do. They make you bow down to their gods and worship their idols. That's the situation we're in America.
Yeah, certainly we should understand the culture more so than anyone. But when you're socially engineered and conditioned it, they don't do any study, take their word at face value. The end result is what we are. Sadly to say, when you don't study nor examine anything, you don't burn the midnight, you just take people's word at it. And we're good at taking people's word at it. We could go ahead and say something. I can say something about Katria. I guarantee they're not going to investigate it. They can say something about me. I guarantee they're not going to investigate it. We're used to taking things at face value without any investigation. The Most High says that there be two or more when you bring something about someone. We don't go with that. That's just what like right country. And we certainly don't say anything in that regard.
And trust me, Yamsu.
Yes.
There was more Israelites in captivity than Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was the rest of them doing?
Bowing down.
How come they wasn't thrown in the fiery furnace? What was they doing? Bowing down to the idol?
Bowing down. Just like we're doing here. Bowing down, some of us. You're right, country. You're dead to the right. Bowing down. Well, I'm sure that didn't work out for them very well. But it works out for these fine brothers that we love to love. Mm-hmm. And they were saved from the fiery trial. Thank you, Cottrell. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was full of fear. He went stark crazy, loony to us. And it showed on his face. I mean, I guess he had a pleasant face, but that face changed up on him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke.
And I told you yesterday, Nebuchadnezzar is a mean king. He's mean.
He's a sociopath.
Oh, yeah, he called him a sociopath. These brothers just helped the king sleep well at night, and now he wanted to kill him.
Exactly. Man, this guy. And that's how wicked folks is, Cotterell. They will flip the script on. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It was extremely hot, so hot, even the men that threw him into the furnace, they got burned up. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down and bound into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. He rose, I guess, out of his chair in a haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, hold on. Did we not cast three bound men into the midst of the fire? He watching the whole setup. And they answered and said to the king, true, O king, we did. He said, look, he answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. in the form of the Father, like the Son of the earth. I got to really emphasize. I don't know what they got Jesus and put him up in there for. What did Jesus have to do going up in there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't add, they didn't support their lie with a cornerstone of their whole premise. Now they got Jesus up in there. What did Jesus have to do with Nebuchadnezzar? And certainly, what did he have to do with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? As Ezekiel said, that man. And he made reference to who he said when he said that man was doing the measurements. He said, it was the angel. And certainly, this is the protecting angel in this furnace. This ain't no Jesus. I know they may have told you that. I don't know how they came. They didn't brought that together and put Jesus in there. Jesus ain't mentioned in the conversation, but they done put Jesus in there. This ain't got nothing to do with no Jesus. And even if it was true, what they're saying about the red letter stuff, it still doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. And even if it was true. So I suggest and infer and apply to you that who is telling you this lie talking about some Jesus was in there, they're serious, but they're sincerely mistaken. Because you got to keep things in context when you're studying a subject matter. You just conjure Jesus about it. Yeah, Jesus was in there. That's what they do. They take the truth and they add a little bit of lie and they say, oh, yep, that was Jesus. Now, I can't see it. So I need for them to explain to me how they said that Jesus up again, taking care of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's all I need to know. Show me what scripture. Don't make up nothing. This says the truth. Because Yom Suk don't buy that. Contrary, what say you? And Sister Yehudi?
I say we need to read what's in front of us.
Exactly.
Verse 26, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning, fiery furnace.
Exactly.
He spoke and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you servants of the Most High, come out, come near. No, 25, he answered, look, I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are turned, they are unharmed. The appearance of the four, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is like, it doesn't say the Son of God. It says a son of the gods.
Praise God.
And the Chaldeans and the Babylonians, they saw the angels because the angels made their appearance in these times that we're reading about. Abraham saw angels. Jacob saw angels. I'm sure these people saw angels too, especially in this fiery furnace. It didn't say it was Jesus, the Son of God. It says the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. So we know the angels are the sons of God. Because in Genesis it said the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were fair to look upon. But you could try to squeeze Jesus in this. But I don't see Mary or Joseph in the story right here.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying, Conjure. Thank you, brother, for clarifying that for those that like to believe lies. Sister Hoodie, Sister Avia?
No, I'm good.
Okay. She good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jesus couldn't save himself off the cross. How are you going to save three men in a fiery furnace?
Godzilla. Oh. Be nice,
it's true, though. He couldn't save himself from being battered and crown of thorns. They done stuck him up on the cross, stuck nails in him. But you going to tell me he's the one in there saving Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from a fiery furnace? Oh, okay.
Oh, man. God damn. That's a good one.
Good explanation and funny. I said I'm not going to talk too much. I don't want to be coughing. But, yeah,
okay.
I agree with everything you're saying.
Okay.
And if Jesus was a sacrifice for the sins of the world, he should have been in some kind of fire as a sacrifice, not just stuck up on the cross.
Bingo. Bing. Thank you, Kajel. Thank you very much, brother. You clarified. You cleaned that up good. And now, And the final analysis, Nebuchadnezzar praises Baal. He done that before. You know, they're so double-minded. People like him are so double-minded. When King Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, now you sin, servants of the Most High Elohim, come out. Come here. And Shadrach, Meshach, I need to rap now. No rap. He said, the very one you gave an ugly dog face look, and you tried to make a worship your idol. Like Cartrell said, the Most High said, you the golden head, but you made a whole golden image. A whole golden image. And you tried to get them to bow down to you, which you had bowed down before the Elohim before. You had had this double-minded pursuit of happiness with the Elohim, but you seemed to turn on. Now you trying to act like you their friend. Come on now, boys. Come on now. I didn't mean no harm. Come on. I mean, he talked to him. His face and changed up narrative. Then he said, Shadrach. Let me repeat that. Let me go back on it. Shadrach.
But hold on. We just read where the men that was throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire furnace burnt up.
No word out of
the king's mouth. Yo, get them, scoop them up, help them.
He has a classic example of Donald Trump ego run amok syndrome. Okay, he don't care nothing about them. He didn't care nothing about them so-called patriots running up in there. He didn't care nothing. They love police, but he didn't care nothing about them police killed up in there. But he has that sociopathic too. So, and you're right, Cartrell. I'm glad you pointed that out. And look at again, Cartrell, Sister Hootie and Sister Abia. Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Bingo, servants of the Most High Elohim. Come on now. Come here. then Shadrach, I know he was full of trepidation. Then Shadrach.
Hold on. When Daniel told him what his thoughts were, before he had the dream,
that's what I'm saying.
And told him what the dream was and interpreted. It put the fear of Daniel in the king. Because what did he do? He bowed down and started worshiping Daniel. He wasn't supposed to worship Daniel. He was supposed to worship the God of Daniel.
Exactly.
And when he saw that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't burnt up like he thought they would be, I'm sure that same fear came on him. That's why he's so humble. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. What the hell are you talking about? I'm going to bring the fire out with me and burn your ass up, King.
Gabriel, check this out. Now, as you said, and you rightly said, the distinction that I'm sure Daniel wasn't bound down too, but he wanted food with Daniel. He just thought the Most High was just attributed to Daniel, but the Most High attributes to all of us. And so he didn't give the difference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He just thought it was Daniel. But it was, you know, that bow down. He had the game twisted, as we said. You're supposed to bow before the Elohim.
But you got to remember. It was the child Dins who snitched on him, right?
The one he yelped out.
It was jealous. But what they failed to realize is that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel saved the child Dean's life, the magician's life, the soothsayer's life, everybody's life. But now you're going to turn on them and try to get the king to burn them?
Contrary, that's why that brother called you from Detroit. Matt, talking about we transvestites. That's what they do. You know, I ain't wearing no heels and no mini skirts, man. You got me twisted, man. I don't know what you are.
Listen. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they came together, prayed to Yah, cried out. Yah gave them the answer. He didn't just give Daniel the answer. He gave all these brothers the answer. And Daniel tried to include them, which he did. He said, you need to make these brothers leaders of your province because they was part of it.
Exactly. So when they come on the river,
the king, hearing the word of Daniel out straight from Daniel's mouth, he didn't consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
And they had to prove themselves loyal to Yah, which they did. It doesn't matter what you say, what you want us to do, King. We can't bow down to your idols, to your gods. We are loyal, dedicated servants of the Most High, who gave us the answer to the problem that you gave us, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So now these child beings, right? We remember what Nebuchadnezzar said. If you can't tell me my dream and interpret it, not tomorrow, not next week, but today, I'm chopping you up. I'm chopping your family up. I'm chopping everybody up that's associated with you today.
Exactly.
And Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stopped that edict, didn't they?
Exactly.
So these Chaldeans who ratted on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they have no consideration, no appreciation that they saved their lives.
Well, that's what wicked people do. You can help them as you may. And you can bend over backwards for them, try as you may. But they're going to do what they do. So we need to do what we do. We need to do just like we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. So when somebody says the Real Talk for Real People, that ain't no Yum Soup. That ain't no Cottrell. That ain't no Sister Yehudi. That ain't no Sister Abia. It is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Okay? That's what this is, just like these brothers here. Hey, they're one of the special lessons, all of us are special, universally speaking. Because one thing for sure, that we ain't did our job, because some of us still doing what we're doing. So I don't need no special accolades. I don't need for nobody to call me, because I ain't did my job. Because we hadn't reached everybody, and surely people hadn't changed. I'm sure Cartrell feels the same way. So Shehudi, Sister Abigail, that is not a one-man show here. This is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub show here. So just like these men were, they knew united we stand, divided we fall. And that's the attitude we try to portray on this show. We don't simply try to talk about it. We try to be about it. So people can say, yeah, that Yom Suf, he don't, man, Yom Suf don't be bothered about that. Yom Suf said, we ain't won nothing. Ain't nobody got no points. And so that's the attitude we got to have when it comes to us in captivity. We ain't won nothing. Ain't nobody free. And Yom Suf can't be for nobody. But here's what we do know. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub can do something for all of us together. And that's how it's got to be. Just like these men. Thank you, Cartrell.
I just want to know this, Doc.
Yes.
With that kind of pressure that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were facing, right?
Yes.
How many of us would stand like they stood? You getting ready to get thrown to the firing squad or put in a fiery furnace. You're not going to compromise and bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar put up for everybody to bow down to? Or are you going to go through that fiery furnace regardless? How many of us would stand up and go through the fiery furnace?
Metaphorically, Cartrell.
Ain't no metaphor. I'm talking about physical, actual oppression. People that would turn on the nation of Israel.
Let me
and put you to the point where you got to make a choice like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Let me finish my thoughts. Metaphorically, we're going through that fiery furnace now. We got a lot of brothers and sisters, universally speaking, just like that brother in Detroit, that call you, that are bowing down to idols in some sense. But we're going metaphorically through that very same fire. And literally, I like to believe that we would go through that same fire. But only each individual can answer that question for themselves. But metaphorically, we're going through it. We're ostracized. We're talked about. We're shunned. But physically and literally, I like to believe that we would. It's true.
I would say that we haven't reached the point where we're being tested like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Right.
But that test is coming. And how will you stand when that test comes?
You got to have your mind right, Katrina, just like you said. You got to have your mind right. And I suggest, we strongly suggest to you that you get your new heart, new spirit, so you can have that right mind. Otherwise, you're going to be bound down with the rest of them, truth be told. Thank you, Katrina. And Katrina's right. That fire is coming. Go ahead, Katrina.
The book is written by the prophet Daniel.
Exactly.
But we have to acknowledge the strength, the faith, the diligence of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remaining faithful to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the test that they passed.
Because
they could have bowed down to that idol and not going in that fiery furnace. But they said, nah, we're not going to compromise. We service of Yah. And service of Yah don't bow down to the idols of men. So if we need to die, we're going to die serving Yah. If it got to be by burning a furnace that's real hot, hey, throw us in there.
And that's just that on that, Katrina. That's true. Thank you, Katrina. All right. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. And the satraps, administrators, governors, and the king's counselors gathered together. And they saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hell
the fire,
the fire had no power.
So should we be afraid of fire if we're connected with Yah?
Nope, you shouldn't.
Because you'll pass right through it, and it's going to have no effect on you.
Exactly. Thank you, Katrina, for clarification for those that don't understand. The hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected. The smell of fire was not on them. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach. Now he includes them. He should include them in the first place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Who said even the king knew this. Even the king knew it wasn't Jesus. Who sent his angel? Hey, Contrail. Come on and read what it's saying, brother. I'm saying it. He didn't say Jesus.
Listen. Christians don't read the whole chapter, so they wouldn't read verse 28.
Exactly.
They'll stop at the Son of God and say it's Jesus, but they won't read verse 28, where it clarifies that the Son of God is an angel, not Jesus, son of Mary, Joseph, whoever his father was.
Right.
This is an angel.
This king may have been a sociopath and a psychopath, but I know one thing, he wasn't no dummy, wasn't he? He said,
oh no,
angel. And this angel delivered his servants who trusted in him. Who is the him? Yah, the Elohim. And they have frustrated the king's word and yield their bodies as a result of them not bound down, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own Elohim.
What?
That's how we get our fill up. If you're worshiping Jesus and these religions, Allah, Buddha, you're not going to get filled up. You might get burnt up, but you ain't going to get filled up. The very end lies our dilemma. This king knew this. He said, these men get their strength from the Elohim. And it's true. This king ain't no dumb. He may have been crazy as hell, as we said, but he wasn't no fool. Nobody's fool. He learned, unlike some of us. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the Elohim of Shadrach, Meshach, he wanted to get on board, and Abednego shall be, he said the same thing about the Elohim. They shall be cut in pieces, and their house shall be made an ash heap. Because there is no other Elohim who can deliver like this. And he told no lie. That's what you need to fill up with. Then the king promoted. They got a promotion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They got a promotion. Not because they followed the lead of King Nebuchadnezzar. Because they followed the lead of God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God. And we got them all. We got one on every block. Cartier said he got so many churches. Cartier said he got so many churches, more than, like Church of Chicken. Okay? all over the place where he lives at. And I tell you that, it's the very same thing down here in Memphis, Tennessee. I imagine Sister Abia has the very same thing in the Bronx. And I imagine she has the very same, but they ain't getting no help. They ain't getting no strength. They ain't getting no solution. Out of 402 years, y'all been crying, lying, begging Jesus. And Jesus been staying up in the churches. They been bombing y'all, raping y'all, robbing y'all, and Jesus been staying up in the churches. Come on, man. COVID-19 came. Y'all knocked on the door. Jesus said, go away. Okay? I'm just keep it real. So if y'all really want to know how to get connected, how to get fueled up, Cottrell says, like spinach to Popeye, you better get you some God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You better get on deck, and you better get on board. Praise y'all and bless his holy name, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and certainly Daniel. Cottrell, Sister Hootie, Sister Abia, may the Most High bless you. And Cottrell, certainly you more. This your first birthday. I don't like to call it birthday. His first birthday.
On this day, 66 years ago, the Most High gave me the breath of life, and I'm so thankful that I didn't end it at 14. Praise God. These men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were prepared to die to keep their faithfulness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're not bound down to no idol, because that will send our souls to Sheol. And us bowing down to your idol is going to preserve our life for a little while. Might have a little life. But we know that upsets the creator of all things and everything. So it doesn't matter that we die here not worshiping your idol, because we know we have a future with Yah. So you want to throw us in a fiery furnace, that's what you think you got to do, then do it. It wasn't afraid of that, was it? Because they were in that furnace, wasn't it? And the king told his men to turn the flame up. And the people that turned the flame up, they got burnt up.
Abiyah and Young Fu, you know what's interesting? They showed no fear. That's another aspect you get from the story. No fear. And today, people have fear. Like Nina Simone said, her power is when you have no fear. And they didn't have any fear. I mean, could you imagine you going, you know, it looks like you're going to your death. And they even said, if we, you know, in so many words, if we burn up, you know, we're still not going to change. And this society has become weak by not standing up for what they know is right. That's what y'all talking about, and I'm relating it to today. And these men back then, our heritage, our history, they stood up. And on top of that, the king promoted them. That's deep.
Yeah, so the king, right? You know, he's a lunatic. He's a psychopath, like Yahusu said. Okay. He was ready to kill all his counselors, all his wise men, all his musicians, et cetera, et cetera. Until Daniel brought him the dream and the interpretation of the dream. It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in his eyes. It's this man right here, Daniel, which is why he wasn't included, because I'm sure Daniel didn't bow down to the idol that he made. But the Chaldeans, they ain't screaming on him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was quiet the whole time, but they had a major role in helping Daniel interpret the king's dream, right? So the king, he's like, you asking me to give these men power over my providence? You answer me. They didn't answer me. And the fact that the Chaldeans brought back the report that these three men who head your province, don't bow down to the idol. Now the king is pissed off. I thought these men were going to be loyal to me, running Babylon like I wanted them to run it. And that meant that they needed to compromise themselves. Whatever the king said, that's what they were supposed to do. And the king found out, no, we can't do what you say do if it conflicts with what the Most High told us to do. So he's like, okay, I'm going to see if your God going to save you. He gave me the answer to my dream, but can he pull you out this flame of fire that I'm about to set y'all on? And guess what? He found out, yes, Yah will do that for his people, the nation of Israel, which is why he said, your God is God, just like Pharaoh told Moses, right? Moses had to convince Pharaoh, all the gods you serving ain't gods. And in the end, Pharaoh said, your God is God, and bless me also. So Nebuchadnezzar had to realize the same thing. He had to come to the same conclusion, that the God of Israel is God. And that's what the Most High made this king of this first empire do. He made him acknowledge and admit that the God of Israel is God. And that's what's going to happen with the fourth kingdom. He's going to make them acknowledge, this fourth kingdom, that the God of Israel is God. Praise Yah.
All right. I had to step away. I had to go to the little fellow's room. I apologize. All right. Cottrell? So, brother, since it's your day, your first breath day, we want to hear a beautiful song from you in the song. Can we get it?
Of a surety, no doubt. Let's do that.
Thank you, brother.
Because with every breath I breathe, I give praise to the Most High. I'm his servant.
Praise Yah.
He knew me before. He placed me in my mother's womb, and he made me for a reason. I'm trying to figure it out, but I'm here. Praise Yah.
I think you're doing a good job while you're here. I'm glad you're figuring it out with us. Yeah, he's doing a good job while he's here. I'm glad he's figuring it out with us together.
You're blessed. You're fortunate. Y'all didn't stop the planet and take me off. Yeah, I stopped the planet. I want to get off. There ain't no love here.
Yeah. Truth be told.
People are,
yeah, I feel
got
you,
monsters walking around.
Monsters. They're still here. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I used to be like that little white boy. I see dead people, not just annoying.
Yeah, I felt well.
Believe me, at 14, I didn't know where love was coming from. If I didn't get it from a mother, father, sister, and brother, I'm like, where's love coming from? People in the street, they crazy.
Right.
They drug down heaven. They don't know you, Yah. Me, I'm here all by myself. Like what? What is it?
Yeah.
What's for me?
I can identify.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I can identify where you're coming from. Because mm-hmm. I was asking. No, go ahead.
No, I was agreeing with you, Sister. I said we all can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I was so lonely, so sad. That lonely feeling, it ain't no good. It's not a good feeling.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You're lonely, feeling like nobody loves you. Oh, that's a terrible place to be. That is a terrible place to be.
Yes.
I had a different take on it, Cottrell. I had a different take on it. My take was this, Cottrell, Sister Woody and Sister Abigail. See, I had 7 brothers and 5 sisters. I had to sleep in the bed with about 5 of them. And sometime in the midnight hour, I would feel a warm, fuzzy feeling. But it wasn't love. It was urine on my leg. So my thing with that, I just wanted to get out of a room, a household. I love my brothers. I still do, ride or die for them. But I had a little bit too much love, especially the wee hours of the night, okay? And so Cottrell wanted something different. Y'all want something different. I just want my space. I still want my space. I love my brother and sister at a distance just like they love me. Because when you have a close confined relationship and 5 brothers are sleeping in one bed and the little ones are peeing all over your leg and you got to get up in the morning and go to school, man, it was terrifying. You hoping they don't smell you. You think you got the pee all for you and your classmates smelling you, you know. So I just wanted some space.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he granted you that space, too.
Amen. Praise the Most High. I
love it. Then he say he answers you,
he
whatever situation
did.
You're in.
Mm-hmm. He certainly did. He certainly did. When I was 17 years old, he answered my prayer.
And I want to say that I love my mother. I love my father.
Praise y'all.
They didn't show me the love the way I thought they should show me the love. But right. They were giving me love with the discipline that they were giving me.
Right.
But you got to throw some hugs and kisses in there.
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw some birthday parties in there to show that
that's
you
right.
really love your child. Because
yes,
that's what children be looking for.
Children
look for discipline, which I got from them, but I need the
right.
hugs and the kisses and the reassurance that you love me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Every child, you got children out there, mothers and fathers, you need to hug and kiss your children and let them know that you love them. Don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
leave out the discipline like Sergeant Mom, but throw in the hugs and the kisses like the Italians do. The Italians,
yeah.
they hug and kiss everybody.
Right.
And our children need to feel that, know that their parents love them. Even with the strong discipline that Sergeant Mom gave me, I still
mm-hmm.
needed her hugs and her kisses, which she didn't give me. But I understand as I become an adult that
mm-hmm.
it was tough love that she was giving me, but it made me so the feeling of loneliness and isolation that she didn't hug me or kiss me or throw me birthday parties.
Right. I can identify you 100% because my mother wasn't a mean person. She just wasn't around. So I said, whenever I have children, I'm going to make sure that they know that they're loved. I took some of the positive attributes, that's what you're saying, from my mother. But each generation try to improve on their relationships with people, especially their children and loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
You learn, and they're painful lessons. But if I had an opportunity to have more, I would have had more children, maybe a couple more. I would have four altogether instead of just two, to show them the love and consideration and discipline, you know. And you could tell by their reaction. Hugs never go out of style. I don't care how old you are. You could be a great grandmother. All human beings need that closeness, that hug, that reassurance. It's like saying, hello, how are you? Psychologically, it's very productive. So I do agree with you 110% because I was always by myself. And being the only child, too, raised up as well. So it was a very lonely life.
Right.
So
have
I
you watched Lioness with their cubs?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of physical contact.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kissing, a lot of licking. That's what they
mm-hmm.
do to their cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And the cubs are reassured that their mother has concern and love for them, the cubs
mm-hmm.
of a lioness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she always displays her love for her cubs.
Right.
It's called socializing. Because
mm-hmm.
I told you, when my wife moved in, you know, she had a dog. And the dog think he my ace coon boom. Because I had dogs in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because I socialize with dogs. Dogs like to be pet. They like to be scratched. That's their
mm-hmm.
way of socializing. And so you just can't just talk bad to them. You got to show them up. You part of the team, partner. So they
mm-hmm.
understand scratching. They understand rubbing. And that's their way of socialization. So that's why he think he my rogue dog. If I go out the house and the rest of them here, he going to come to the door. Like, he looking for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I go out there, he hear me talking to somebody, he don't know them, he going to cut up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, Sister Hootie. You're right, Carcel.
Mm-hmm.
We much more than demands. We need the socialization process, which was stolen away from us. And so
mm-hmm.
I have to your mother, my father, your father, Carcel, because that was stolen away from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to to socialize among our nation, just like that song I played. We got to love like it ain't no tomorrow, and much more than just telling folk, you got to show folk love.
Mm-hmm.
You got to show for your brother, love for your sister, love for your nation, just like they said in that song. And you got to show it. Mm-hmm. And so, Katra, I agree with you. But I think, Katra, because of the over-social and not the right socialization, as far as I was concerned, not the love and the pet and the encouragement and the motivation. It was just do this, do that, and whoop you over head. You know, it wasn't, hey, man, you let me hug you, man. You need a hug. You know, it was, and then so I got to the point with the other over-socialization without the hug and being peed on, I'm ready to get out of there. At 17, I was made the way I was going to be made without the Most High, and I had to get rid of, just like Sister Abigail says, you got to take a moral inventory, just like alcoholism. And you got to go through your life, and you got to get rid of all that garbage that we put in one another and become a better, allow the Most High to give you a new heart and a new spirit, like we always said, and infuse it, put it in that, the thing that we need to do to become the people that the Most High would have us to be. And Cartier, you're dead on point. Sister Abigail, you're dead on point. Sister Yehudi, you're dead on point. We need a whole lot of more love.
So I got a question.
Yes.
Does modern social media make us as social with one another as we were before computers and iPads and iPods and cell phones?
No, Contreras. Mm-hmm. It's just, no, this is lying people putting on pictures that ain't them. They sit in their mama basement, the grandmama attic, and at 400 pounds, like it's 130. Lying and jabbing. And, no, this is not socialization. And then they're coming at people with a whole lot of sexual perversion. That ain't what we used to talk about. Hey, lady, I want to lick you up like water. Hey, man, what is wrong with you? Hey, dude. And this is another dude. Hey, dude, you look good to me. I mean, but you behind this defense, you behind defensive mechanism, saying a lot of rotten and derogatory terms. No, this is the worst thing, as far as I'm concerned, as far as interaction socially. They need to get rid of all of it, truth be told. Because
it's dangerous. Based on what you said, it shows that social media is dangerous. It's dangerous. It's not really like how we used to interact when we were younger, face to face, your block, my block, my crew, your crew. Social media is destroying people's personality.
There's nothing social about it, Cartrell. There's nothing
anti-social
social about
it. There you
go. You're right, Cartrell. Dead to the point. Man, you bring it on. You need a breath day every day. Because you bring it on. You bring it on the
fire. You know something? I've been listening, not saying that, but you know, when it comes to love and you saying the mother needs to show more love and the family love and all that, it is so true. Because I'm going to tell you, when I was growing up, I got that the love that was hard too, the one that say, well, if you don't do this or you don't do that and be on time, this and that, you're getting your behind whooped. But then also I had the nourishing love too, because my mother didn't show too much affection, but she would do it sometimes. Now, on the other hand, being that my grandmother and all of us lived in the same place, my grandmother nursed me more, you know, with love. Every time I turn around, she was hugging and squeezing and kissing and everything. So, but what I do have to say,
don't forget the pinching of the cheeks.
Yeah, that's true. But what I didn't have was the father's love. I didn't have a father because my father passed when my mother was carrying me. She was 5 months when my father passed away. So I missed that father love. And as I was growing up, like you say, you have to take a good look at yourself. In the men, as I got older, I was seeking more of a fatherly type, or I guess, you know. And therefore, I was picking the wrong men. But the Father's love, the Father's love is equally and just as important as mother's love.
Hallelujah.
And it took me hard times to learn that lesson. But I like I said, I'm glad for the lesson, so I know better now.
Exactly. Praise Yah. Praise Yah that you've learned over the course of your life and your experiences and your history that not only that you need the Most High, because you missed that, like a lot of us missed a lot of things in our lives, but the Most High has infused us and given us strength and fortitude to go through it. But surely that people that's listening now in radio land and TV land, if you're a father, you're a mother, you're a grandmother, you're a stepfather, stepmother, or whatever you are, these children not only need discipline, but they need to know they're part of the group. And you have to express that in not only your words, but your deeds too. You should express that because we are nations of loving people. We express that love. But like I said,
It don't stop when they're grown either, because me and my children, we still hug each other and say, I love you every night.
Ain't nothing wrong
every
with that.
Night. And see, my daughter's out in Philly, but we talk every single day. And I tell her, I love you, baby. She says, I love you, Mom. My other son is upstate. He comes down. But when he don't, he calls me every day. We speak to each other every single day and show some kind of love. And we make sure we say, I love you. So don't stop when the children get older. Keep on doing it.
That's why it's essential that no each parent, although they may have a breakup or whatnot, you don't infuse toxicity on the other parent. I mean, you don't poison them children, okay? If you can't say nothing good like mama said, don't say nothing at all. And don't be telling your business in front of them children about whatever's going on about business as far as that other parent is concerned. Okay?
That's right.
Let them get the love from the other parent and let them get the love for you. That's the more the merrier. Makes lighter the load, truth be told.
That's it.
Yeah, I look at the Italians. When they see their family, they grab each other's faces, they kiss, they hug, they show that love.
Right.
We in our community, we got mothers cursing at their children.
In the store.
And they never hug their children or kiss them or let them know that they love them. Not the mother nor the father. Me, I hug my children. They grown adults. Give them a hug. Give them a kiss. I'm like the Italians. I'm going to show you love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like that when I see my daughters. I hug them. You know, they 20, almost going on 30. I'm going to hug them. If I'm walking around on a cane, I'm like, come here, let me sit this cane over here. I need to hug you one off. And we need to, like I said, in defense of us, Cottrell, Sister Hootie, Sister Avia, in defense of us, our people's lives have been, not only their identity, but our social structure has been stolen. We need to try to gather that social structure back and to know what we are, what we should be doing, and who we are. And that's why these studies are essential. We need to know what we are, our cultural identity, so we can share the love. Because, sad to say, not too many of us can. So we need the Most High. We need these studies.
So I'm going to let you know this. At 14, I was searching for love.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was no love out there. Most I said, I'm going to show you love. And when he gave me my children, the children that I have, that's when I learned that there is unconditional love. When your children love you unconditionally. And you have to give that love back. You have to give it back because it's so valuable. Your children have to know that you love them.
Right. Exactly, and that's true.
There's a lot of children out here, they don't know their father, they got problems with their mother, and they don't feel no love. And it spills out into the streets.
Exactly.
This is why our
daughters hook up with wrong men. They don't have an example.
Right.
And why the young men hook up with the wrong women, because they don't have examples of their mother. Back then, even though there was some dysfunction in our lives,
right,
it had it has gotten worse. There was somebody to help us with our foundation.
Right. Well, look here. We can beat this horse. It's gonna ride when it comes to some of us, and it's gonna ride when it comes to some of us. But I want to hear the first birthday breath guy sing a song.
Oh.
When you wake up in the morning and it's raining in your heart and you feel like you can't make it before you even start, your world is wrapped in darkness and you cannot see the light, and in all your situations don't seem to work out right. Open up your vision. Open up the Lord. Oh, that's not the song you wanted to sing? Oh, I'm sorry.
That's beautiful.
It was cool, but I won't go stop it.
It's
all right.
Yeah.
I'll put you on your song, bro. Man, I was over here shouting.
Yeah,
oh,
I'll do that one day.
I enjoyed it.
You like that? You like that?
I enjoyed it, yes. But the
case
from the heart.
I know you want the real song.
I guess he got his birthday gift to sing. Because he was singing, he was singing.
Listen, I've been singing praises to the Most High for a long time, brother. Long time. And you need to catch up. Keep on practicing. Keep on singing.
Ain't too far behind you. I'm going to blow a note too, brother.
Fuck up your ears, y'all. Here comes Young Sue.
Well, look here. Well, Sister Hootie, maybe the Most High bless me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah, man, we got a whole repertoire of songs that we sing to the Most High. I ain't going to break it out, but that was a little sample.
It was nice.
Oh, praise God. One day I'll sing the whole thing. I'll sing the whole thing for y'all one day. But we in the 90th chapter of the Book of Psalms. I know we're running out of time. 8, 13, 14, 15. Psalm 98, right, Sisabia?
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has chosen Yisrael as his nation. We thank you, Yah, for choosing us, to be merciful and patient and loving kindness and tender mercy towards us. Because we know we done dropped the ball, we done messed up, we done tripped up, we done fell on our faces, we done tailing off the head. But we love you anyway. You know we know you love us anyway, Yah, and we love you back. And we're thankful that our ancient fathers sang you these songs. Because you have given us the gift of making songs. Thank you, Yah. Go ahead, Yamsu. What'd you say? All right. Do y'all have a title and an author to this song? I don't. My book don't show it. Psalms 98. Yamsu, if you there? Your book got a title? Psalm 98? Your book usually does have a title and an author. Okay, no title, no author. Young Sue disappeared.
Yeah.
So we going to sing a song anyway.
Oh, okay, wait. It's the song of praise to the Elohim for salvation.
Yeah. For what?
For salvation and judgment.
For salvation and what?
Judgment.
And what?
Okay.
Did he say justice?
He said judgment.
Oh, so a song of salvation and judgment. Okay. So way before the New Testament, we had songs of salvation and judgment. Think about
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I had to step away from the, what's called, I had to give my stepson some peroxide.
Okay, you multitasking. All right, we understand.
Yeah. And my wife trying to tell me when I come back to the mic what y'all be saying, but, you know, it be coming from all ends.
Yes, sir. We love you. Love your wife. Keep you on point.
Yes.
Know you're multitasking. And you need to open your ears and listen to what she's saying.
Hallelujah.
She's paying attention. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 98. All praise, thanks, glory to the Holy One of Israel for giving our people this musical ability. Yes. Sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. So don't let nobody stop you, Yamsu. Keep on singing your song.
Thank you,
his
brother.
Right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Not for him, but for us. Every time y'all save somebody, he be saving us, right? We cry out to him, he saves us. So we rely on his salvation, not no idol salvation. They tell you're going to go to heaven. Nah, we don't want to go to heaven. We're going to stay right here on earth where y'all say you're going to be. Y'all has made known his salvation. Oh, your Christians don't know about y'all's salvation because he made it known in the scriptures in the Old Testament. Y'all has made known his salvation. Do you know his salvation? Do you know what he's talking about? You better find out before it's too late. Because salvation is salvation, isn't it? You don't know what it is, and you haven't found out, and Yah has made it known, which means you have no excuse, because Yah has made it known, right? Everybody got this tonight and their Bible in their hand, right? And what does he do? He makes known what? His salvation. He has openly shown his righteousness in the sight of the nations. So all the nations have Yah's word translated into the language today as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't say, Yah didn't show us. He kept it secret. Sit down. We ain't know. It says he has openly shown his righteousness. Are we supposed to be following that path of righteousness? Because Yah has shown us openly what path the path of righteousness is? Oh, no excuse for Israel. Sorry. No excuse. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness towards the house of Israel. Raise your hand if that's true. Ooh. Without Yah's loving kindness and faithfulness, we'd be dead. He said we're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you're worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, where should you be? Where should you be, Israel? It's only because of Yah's loving kindness and tender mercies and faithfulness that we are still here, house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our Elohim. Yeah, they know the story of how Yah brought us out of Egypt. They know that Yah exists. They know that Yah is keeping us alive because our enemies wanted to destroy us completely. So they see it. Yah's salvation. We're still here. Make a joyful noise to Yah, all the earth, not just Israel, but all the earth. Burst out and sing for joy. Yes, sing. Sing praises. Yeah, so don't let nobody stop you, Yamsu. Sing praises to Yah with the harp. But you got to be proficient and skillful with the harp. With the harp and the voice of melody. You got to be skillful with the voice of melody. It takes practice, repetition, until you get it right. With trumpets and sounds of the ram's horn. Everybody can't blow that ram's horn. Everybody can't blow trumpets. But there are people who are skilled at it, and that's what they need to be doing. Make a joyful noise before the King, Yah. Let the sea roar in it with his fullness, the world, and those who dwell therein. Not just the nation of Israel, but everybody that's alive, that breathes the breath of life, needs to give praise to the Creator. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing for their joy together. Oh, the mountains can sing and the rivers can clap hands. The earth is alive. Let them sing before Yah. The earth, the rivers, the mountains, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So everybody got a chance. Everybody got the word of Yah. Everybody knows what's right and wrong, and you can't say you didn't know. because Yah's word is out there. He said, in the end of days, knowledge will be increased, and it's an open book test for everybody. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. That's self-explanatory. Hallelujah. That's self-explanatory. I don't need to further espouse upon it. So, Sister Yehudi, Sister Abiyah, Godrell, you have any closing remarks and comments?
Oh, just a long and good night, everybody. Stay safe and stay prayed up and praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
People, be slow to anger. Reach out to someone. Love one another. In His name, be a good representative of our Creator and Maker of all things. And with that, I'm going to do better with my cold. And I have to disappoint my sister-in-law. Can't go with her to the eye doctor, because I'm going to be coughing over everybody. But this illness is going on. So I ask the Most High, forgive me. I didn't mean to get sick, but it is what it is. But I thank you.
Thank
you all.
Thank you.
Did you take your black seed oil for the change of the season, Sister Yehudi? Your castor oil, your cod liver oil?
Yes.
Are you taking your zinc and your vitamin C?
Yes.
Okay.
Could be worse.
Yes.
I still have an appetite, and I'm thankful. That's what I'm saying. If I didn't have an appetite, I'd be worried.
Yeah, you're good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last thing I have to say, I want to play this song for my fellow workers, my co-worker, Sister Abiyah, Sister Yehudi, Clotrille, this beautiful song. We're going to love like it ain't no tomorrow. But I want y'all out there in radio land to love like it ain't no tomorrow. Love your brother, sister, love your nation. And we want you to get your new heart and spirit. And keep up your studies. Do your due diligence. Continue to burn the midnight oil. Don't take our word for it. Praise the Most High and bless His holy name. We love y'all. Gotcha. I know you got something. I'm getting him the last word. He's a first breath boy. First breath.
Anytime I see the word salvation in the Old Testament, you need to pay attention. We're talking about Yah salvation. Not Jesus' salvation, not Allah's salvation, not Buddha's salvation, not any religious salvation. The God of the universe is promising salvation for His people. And anytime salvation is brought up, we need to pay attention. So what does it take to receive salvation? And Yah is offering it with loving kindness and His tender mercy towards us. So these are the things that we should be focused on, because it's available to us if we're not deceived by the doctrines of men. So my prayer on my birthday is that we gain understanding, wisdom, and knowledge of the true Creator, His true message, and not be deceived by the doctrines of men, because they lead Yah's people astray. So if you learn anything, if you gain any wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, give up a dollar to the website, yahwillgather.us. A dollar ain't gonna hurt you. $1. If you gain anything tonight, any inspiration, any wisdom, knowledge, understanding, or if you thought we were just funny old people, give up a dollar. Praise God.
And we love y'all.
Funny old people. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And y'all out there in radio land, love like they ain't no more. Praise Yah and bless the holy name.
Good night.
Yes. Shalom and good night.
Love and day after night today. Love and all our troubles away. We gon' love life and no tomorrow. Loving everything now, loving past, I'm on time. We're gonna love life and love tomorrow. We're gonna love life and love tomorrow. We're gonna love life and love tonight.
Praise God.